You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Absent Minded, the top 25, under 25, and we have reached the top 10. It's a fantastic experience. It's great to have you here. And I'm joined today by none other than Lauren Kelly from Elite Prospects and EP Ringside. Thank you for joining us, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
Finally. And with all the mess we've had connecting the dots here, summer storms in Sweden and in your case, a national holiday as well.
Yes. August is an interesting month in the hockey season. End in the year.
It's that month between everything has finished and you're just waiting for everything to start again.
Yeah, pretty much.
We've seen a little bit with the World Combine and Hlinka Gretzky, but your work is mainly as an OHL scout, but how much do you follow the international tournaments?
Fairly frequently. I mean, I try to at least watch, all the Canada games just to keep an eye on the OHL guys. The Hlinka in particular, this is the first year I wrote dedicated scouting reports for every player, every OHL player that was on Canada's team. I mean, I tried, there was one OHL player on the American team as well. I didn't get a chance to, some of the games overlapped as far as like times went. So that was different for me this year. I felt like I really needed to understand this draft class heading in because there's a lot of defensemen. So this was a interest, like it'll be different for me this season because usually it's a forward heavy group of OHL prospects heading into the draft. And this year it looks like it's mostly defensemen. So I wanted to get a jump on that. It was interesting, got a lot of great insights. I mean, obviously you can't make too many judgments after five games that have been crammed into like 6 days. So we'll see how the season goes, but I'm really excited.
We're here to talk about Owen Beck. And it's interesting. He cracks the top 10, obviously, even with all the new additions that Montreal has had this year. And one of them hasn't been mentioned yet. And some of the risers as well. He's ranked, the average ranking is 12. And the top ranking he's gotten is 9 and the lowest is 15. He's in a group of itself. We talk about plateaus where we have a group of players that are more or less together. And then there are some of these betweeners that are in the middle of everything. And Eyes on the Prize community had him at 9. Combined ranking was 12. And the next upwards is 10. And the next downwards is 13. So he really is a little bit. But it was a great year in some ways for Owen Beck. He got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember the last time an NHL prospect had this kind of like wild up and down journey. I mean, the only recent comparable I can think of is a guy like Mason McTavish, who started the year in the NHL, went to the AHL, went to the Olympics, World Juniors, that got canceled, had to wrap up the World Juniors in the summer, Memorial Cup. That sort of thing. But I mean, as far as Beck's season went, I mean, I thought there was a chance he would get NHL preseason games. Obviously, that didn't end up happening. They sent him back with an entry-level contract and he returned to the OHL, as I think pretty much everyone expected he would. I thought he would make the World Juniors team. Obviously, didn't expect the circumstances of him being an emergency recall in the middle of the tournament. And then for him to also be an emergency recall to the NHL is one of these more strange ways to make an NHL debut in your draft plus 1 year. So, yeah, I think there's no really good or not good, but there's no really proper way to describe the kind of wild year he had. I don't think anybody really expected that to be happening. Obviously, you can't predict the amount of injuries the Canadians went through last season. But I think the things that with his season and having the break in the schedule that the Petes did, it just allowed him to be the right person to make that recall come true. And yeah, it was one of the wilder seasons for sure that culminated in an OHL championship and a Memorial Cup berth.
Indeed. And also, he was traded halfway through the season.
Yeah.
We haven't even mentioned that.
So
he signed out with Mississauga and went on to the Peterborough Petes, as you mentioned. How come? I mean, Peterborough, even I know that Peterborough is a strong team normally or traditionally, but I also know that Mississauga is.
Yeah, so the Steelheads were in a bit of a interesting situation, I think, heading into November, December. They were middle of the pack team. We knew they were going to make the playoffs no matter what kind of roster they had. I think the direction that James Richmond and his staff decided to go in was they wanted to focus on, you know, rebuilding, boosting up for, you know, this season. They have a lot of young talent now. And the guys that they did move, Luca Delbabaluz, Ethan Delmastro, those are 2003 born players that won't be back this season anyways. And in Beck's case, as an 04, but a highly talented, coveted 04 player, I think the belief was that they didn't expect him back in the OHL this season anyways. So they wanted to recoup some assets. In the meantime, they didn't expect the Steelheads to be competitive as far as a championship contender went. They would probably make one or two playoff rounds. And so I think they just decided to kind of look towards the future and move some of their better players out in exchange for future assets. And usually Mississauga is one of those teams that's always in the middle of the pack. It's pretty rare for them to, you know, reach that upper echelon of, you know, league championship success. I think the last time was, I believe, 2015 when they made it to the OHL Cup final. Or the OHL final. So for them to move a 2004 born player like Beck is pretty rare, but I understand why they did it.
Indeed. And then, you know, going to Peterborough, to the Peets, and what kind of role did he have there? Did he lead the first line, the second line, or how was it?
Yeah, so he was on the second line for the most part. I mean, the Peets were basically a one line kind of offensive team. We saw them acquire a guy like Brennan Othman at the beginning of the season back in November or something. And he even struggled to produce out of the gate. And I think it was just an overall adjustment. We saw them make all these big trade deadline acquisitions. And then it didn't quite click right away as I think the team was hoping it would. Guys like Tucker Robertson, Avery Hayes, J.R. Avon, Connor Lockhart, guys who have like been there, been the guys to being producing the offense. I think it was a little bit of an adjustment for anybody who was recently acquired by that team to jump in right away from a production standpoint. In Beck's case, the transition from Mississauga's system to Peterborough's looked fairly seamless, points aside. He wasn't playing as much of a quick north-south transition kind of style as he did in Mississauga, but I thought he adapted well. We saw it didn't take him long to adjust to Peterborough's system from, you know, a defensive standpoint, you know, constantly being the guy back, helping out, scanning defensively. I just think it's a testament to the style of game he plays that he's able to translate so well to different systems. Even if the production isn't there, he's still making an impact no matter what role he's asked to play on the ice. Coaches can work him into any spot in the lineup. He can hold his own. He can hold his own in that spot.
On some hockey IQ, obviously, in order to do that. But what stands out in his game more?
More this season, I think the shot is one area where I think it's miles better than it was in his draft year. The velocity is quicker. It's heavier. He times his arrivals to space, uses that intelligence, as we all know he has, reads off defenders, and he gets it off much more quickly than he did. If you look at the goal, the highlight reel goal he scored at the Memorial Cup, where the one he went end-to-end, and the shot that he unloaded at the end to beat the goalie far side. I mean, a season ago, that goal probably doesn't go in. The angle isn't quite as precise. The release just isn't quick enough to beat the goaltender. This season, it did. And I think that's a testament, you know, to the work that he did to really hone his shot, which was already a very projectable skill that he had in his arsenal. The velocity, his ability to get it off much more quickly, and it's a very heavy release as well. As far as, you know, the defensive play, the positioning, the high work rate, I mean, it's all still there. The production probably didn't jump as much as I would have liked to see, but he was essentially a better version of himself this season. His problem-solving ability on the ice continues to stand out. It's just so a very well-rounded player still.
I mean, he obviously got his first taste of NHL hockey. He got his first taste of World Junior Championship. That also means something because it gives you an understanding of what you need to develop. Could you see a change because those happened more or less at the same time?
I mean, I went back to watch his NHL debut. I mean, I saw it, I think, a couple of weeks after it played. I was out of the country. I wish I could have seen it live, but I thought the biggest takeaway was that in that particular game, he didn't look out of place. He didn't look like a junior player struggling to keep up with pace or not knowing where he should be. He was doing the things that makes him successful in the OHL already. He was leading the rush, using his crossovers to generate space and move the rush, attempting give and goes with his line mates, reading off puck and finding space, you know, the defensive zone scanning, pressure on the forecheck. He didn't try to force any of the plays that he did have when he had the puck. He played conservatively, which is probably the message he got from the coaching staff in that game, to just be himself. But he just looked so much more comfortable even after like two or three shifts. He was, you know, leading the rush, using the middle of the ice, taking shots, not feeling obligated to force every single possession to a teammate. He was laying hits. He had a 2-on-1. It was probably one of the more seamless NHL debuts where he looked like an NHL player in that game. And I think that definitely helped build confidence when he came back to the OHL, knowing it was just the one game stint. And I think we saw a much more confident Owen Beck down the stretch as Peterborough ended up winning a championship.
And obviously he won the gold with Canada as well in the World Juniors. He has to defend it though here in Gothenburg this year and with a strong Swedish team, I got to say that.
Well, here is a tip for a future trip. Lower your volume because we are going on an ad break right now.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
And we're back.
What can we say about his, maybe I don't want to use weakness, but developing areas maybe?
You know, Beck's game from his rookie year to his sophomore season. That being said, I never thought in his draft year he had any glaring weaknesses. I mean, he was a well-rounded player 2 years ago, and I still believe he's a well-rounded player now. Production is one area I would like to see. I mean, he had 66 points this season, which is, you know, given that he bounced around to so many different teams last season, I think it's understandable that, you know, took some time to adjust in that area. He's not a high-end playmaker. His passing abilities are projectable, though. He's not like a manipulative playmaker, but he uses, he recognizes lanes and he uses them. I mean, I don't consider this a weakness, but I also don't think he's going to be dangling through defenders in the NHL to set up teammates down low or in space. More kind of like his playmaking abilities are kind of more of a limitation of his overall ability than a weakness. Peterborough also just didn't use him in a primary offensive role. So I don't know what his production is even going to look like next season, given that most of Peterborough's offense has graduated to professional hockey. I mean, there's a chance that Connor Lockhart returns as an overage player, but otherwise they're going to be missing 3 of their top 5 scorers next season. And I think the other area where I would, you know, not necessarily a weakness, but I did have a little bit of concern as the season kind of progressed, was the penalties, the discipline. I mean, he laid a few questionable hits, especially in the playoffs. I mean, there was the headshot in the OHL final on Denver Barkley that he was ejected for. The slew foot in, I think, game 5 of the OHL final that, I mean, it's the OHL. They're going to call that penalty every time. And he is going to have to sit for the first game that he's back in the OHL because of it. He still has one game of that suspension to serve. I mean, I think he proved this season that he's not going to back down from a fight. The ramped up physicality isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just think he has to pick his spots better. I mean, he had more penalty minutes than he had points in the playoffs. So just one of those areas where I think he just needs to rein it in a little bit. And then, you know, the physicality, laying hits, it's never a bad thing. It's just he's got to learn to pick his spots a little bit better.
You mentioned the Peets losing their top line more essentially. Does that open up for another Owen Beck trade to another competitor?
Yes. I don't know what this team is going to look like. I think we'll understand a little bit more in November, December what their kind of potential is this season. I do think it's very likely he gets dealt a second time. More than likely, probably out of the conference. I would be interested to see if Saginaw takes a run at him. They're hosting the Memorial Cup next spring. So that's a very deep team already, but it'd be interesting to see if, you know, there's a trade out west to another contender. Otherwise, I don't know right now off the top of my head what the playoff landscape is even going to look like. I mean, we don't know what who the contenders are aside from Saginaw, because we know they'll be at the Memorial Cup again. I do think it's very likely, probably he goes to the World Juniors, he returns, he gets traded again, same sort of scenario as last season. So he'll start the season, play the first, I think, 2 or 3 months with Peterborough, and then leave for the World Juniors. And it's likely that for the rest of the season, he'll be with another OHL team.
Is this the first line center of Canada in the World Juniors?
That's the interesting question. I think it depends who Canada gets back. I mean, at this point, I don't expect to get Connor Bedard, Shane Wright,
really?
Adam Fantilli back. I don't think so. Fantilli is a maybe, depending on how he plays with Columbus to start the year. But if none of those three are back, then Beck is the only returning forward. And he only played 3 of those games because he wasn't on the team for the round robin. So if he is their first line center, and it's not a very deep Canadian team this year, especially compared to the last 2 gold medal winning teams, I think it's a very realistic possibility that he is their first line center. Maybe he gets a leadership role. I think I would just be really interested to see how he handles driving a top line where he's not asked to necessarily deliver a depth role defensively. And I'm sure they'll rely on him for penalty kills as well, but I want to see what he can do when he's given that offensive role, because he played a little bit of top line center in Mississauga last fall, right before he left for the World Juniors camp. And I thought he looked great. But he's also going to be playing with a lot more talented players if he's given that top line center spot. And hopefully we get to see some of more of what he's capable of. We saw it a little bit at the World Juniors when he was playing with Fantilli on that fourth line. They were passing back and forth to each other. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's still a chance. I mean, depending on how young they go, as far as Canada goes, because just the wealth of talent, he may still end up being a second line center. It just depends on what other players that are named to the team and what the coaching staff thinks.
It's also in Europe. It's difficult to get a replacement player in. So and I'm not saying that he will be one, but that's one of the things. It also means that, if I'm correct, the next one, has that been decided? Because wasn't that supposed to be in Russia, or was that this year? That was
yes, 2025 will be in Ottawa.
Yeah, so it's home. You might want to build a younger team, giving them the experience in order to come in to Canada and keep that gold in Canada when it's being played there. So I can see exactly what you're saying, that it depends on the selection and the thought process behind that selection. One thing also that we have to look at is, realistically, even if he's traded, what should Canadian fans, and we all know we are a bit crazy and we only look at scorecards and et cetera, et cetera. But what should we look for in Owen's Beck game and maybe realistically expect from him next year?
I mean, I think to start, I would like to see him get preseason game action. I mean, I fully don't expect him to stick in the NHL this season. I mean, especially after they acquired Sean Monahan, they've got their 3 centers, and I don't think it makes sense for him to be playing fourth line left wing or right wing minutes. That being said, when he returns to the OHL, obviously we're going to expect him to be Peterborough's number one center. Connor Lockhart, if he returns for that overage season, he's a winger. So it would be Beck, and pretty much I don't know what Peterborough's lineup is going to look like with it's going to be a very young team, very inexperienced team, and they're going to rely on him to drive offense as well as be that reliable defensive presence he always is. We'll see if that results in increased production. I would like to see him push 90 points this season. I don't think that's unfair to expect after kind of last season, him being bounced around everywhere. Okay, the production not taking off as much as people would have expected. That's understandable. This season, if he's going to spend the entire year in the OHL, save for, you know, a midseason trade and going off to the World Juniors, I would like to see him be push 90, maybe even 100 points. I think he's quite capable of it, especially if he gets the top line role in Peterborough to start the year. Whether or not that he still gets that same opportunity on his new team in the second half of the season, we'll see. I think the thing with Owen Beck is just, you know what player he is going to be. No matter where he ends up, he's going to have success. I think he's just so intelligent. It's impossible to see a scenario where he doesn't thrive in a new situation, in a new spot. I mean, the production is really the only thing that I would like to see improve next season, along with, you know, not maybe taking so many unnecessary penalties in key moments of games.
Oh, well, we hope that, you know, he learns that before the Stanley Cup final comes around. But one thing that I always wonder when I talk about Beck and I hear all the defensive acumen that he has and the high hockey IQ and being able to stamp his authority in some ways on the game at junior level. Keep in mind, I'm not the guy that follows OHL, so rip me to shreds if you need to. Is he capable of really driving and setting up a power play? Because that is what's going to help him keep those points ticking in as well.
I think so. I didn't see a lot of him on the Peterborough power play. So I think he was playing mostly, bumper in Mississauga. He was on the half wall. The thing is that now that the shot is better, I don't know if he has a one-timer in his arsenal that would make him a threat to score on the half wall in that kind of open spot.
That's what he's working on right now when we're recording this.
So if he can add that, if he can be given that spot on the power play, I don't see why he couldn't. I think he might be better suited in the bumper position, kind of working pucks down low, looking for tips. I mean, you look at a guy like, I mean, not to make the NHL comparison here, but you look at a guy like Braden Point. He plays the bumper in Tampa. And I think that's probably the better spot for a player like Beck, just because the playmaking, you know, it's above NHL. It's probably likely going to be above NHL average, but it's never going to be that kind of dynamic take from the half wall, walk in kind of fool defenders into going one way before you pass off. And then, you know, he can still, if he backs up a little bit in the bumper and gives himself that space to work with, he can still unload shots from there as well. We'll see what it looks like in Peterborough. I have a feeling that this season he'll be on the half wall, at least to start, just because they need shots from those areas. But I don't know. I mean, especially in the NHL, I don't think that's probably where he'll end up playing. I think he's more of a bumper guy.
And is this the Philip Danault replacement down the line?
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. They definitely play quite similarly.
You listened to Lauren Kelly, elite prospect, obviously, elite ringside. For this upcoming season, you're difficult to follow a little bit on Twitter because you have to acknowledge everything, or X, or what we call it next week, I don't know. But where can we find your Alsters or your writing?
You can follow me on Twitter. I am private right now. I go private every summer just to give myself a little bit of space, like mentally. I will go public probably around the start of the OHL season. You can follow me there at LaurKelly24. You can check out my work on EP Rinkside. I don't write too often, but usually when I do, it's OHL related. That's pretty much it.
You've been an absolute star today. We thank you so much. And I might reach out for you for an update somewhere before the World Juniors, probably.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to it.